Next up is Victor Lee Lewis. Victor Lee Lewis is a body in the body of the world. He spends his time thinking about the fate of the earth and is a lifelong learner and educator. Victor is new in town and working as a free-range chaplain and life coach and healing arts practitioner. He specializes in trauma resolution, developing emotional maturity for men, and emotional and holistic pain management care for people with serious diseases and medical conditions. The title of Victor's story is Request Denied.
Yeah, this is about the most embarrassing way of introducing myself to a new sweet community of about 5,000 people that I could imagine. And I have every intention of showing my backside, of letting you into, letting you get to know me in a way that is not entirely flattering. Because this is a story about me and my friend Jerry when we were in high school. This is a story about a foolish boy and a very foolish boy. Jerry was the foolish boy. I would say foolish wise. And I was just plain foolish. Anyhow, we went to an alternative high school called the Cleveland Urban Learning Community, which is as wonderful and exciting and strange in some ways as Youth Initiative. But it was based on the Summerhill School in England, except in Cleveland. Radically democratic, passion-based, student-centered learning. I had senioritis. I was 17 years old. It was May, and I learned in the last possible moment that, oh, you can't graduate unless you get another semester of credit in at least one course, and I was planning to coast in, collect my diploma, and go on to college. But no, I had to hitchhike to San Francisco and turn it into a social studies course. That's how bold we were at the Cleveland Urban Learning Community. So my friend Jerry and I, we went all the way to San Francisco, had many wonderful experiences, which I don't have time to share now, and we're on our way back until we got to Salt Lake City, where I met the judo guy. We sat on an exit in Salt Lake City for about four and a half hours. And finally, a man showed up and let us right in. Jerry threw his backpack into the car. He threw himself into the car. I threw my backpack into the car. I threw myself into the car. And when I got my head in, he said, "Oh, geez. This is getting racial. I got to pick up a black." So I disliked him immediately. I was like, son of a biscuit eater. That's how my grandma talked when she wanted to curse. But he seemed harmless enough. You know, he wasn't that big. And I figured between the two of us, we could probably take him. Foolish and totally foolish. This will come back around later. But we drove to some miles just north of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and he said, "Get out," to both of us. And we were like, fine. And when I got out, and when Jared got out, I included in my gatherings his pocket calculator, not his, but judo guy's pocket calculator, and $24 from his wallet. Sitting on that same exit with Jerry for about an hour and a quarter, judo guy comes back. I didn't know he was a judo guy at the time. He said, he gets out, we're playing cat and mouse. He's like, "I can't find my calculator. What do you think?" And I'm like, whatever. And he looks into his wallet and he's like, "Oh, no, you didn't." And he just does this kind of Hulk-like transformation. He says, "All right, that's it. I'm on the U.S. Olympic judo team." And I'm like, oh, that's what that little 5-ring pin in your gym bag was for? I thought you were just being cocky. But when he did the thing, I thought, you're not being cocky. I need to give you $24 and a pocket calculator back at a safe distance, of course. And what happened right after that was me being hauled off to Laramie County Jail, beginning an underworld journey, which should have ended or seriously damaged my life, but which turned into a get-out-of-jail-free experience. So I'm off to jail. I meet a young man named Nathan who's 15 years old, and just to heighten the intensity of the experience, Nathan explains to me that he made an accident with his girlfriend on a bad acid trip and stabbed her to death. And state of Wyoming legislature needed to do something with the laws so that they could have a 15-year-old tried as an adult and he could be executed. So I'm thinking, I will die here in Wyoming soon. It's not going to take a long time, because there was an adult wing within earshot of where me and Nathan were housed, and the older men were delightfully recounting and speculating about what they would do to us when they had the opportunity. So I thought, I will become a tragic butt boy, then I will be murdered or commit suicide. It's all over. It's going to be a short, painful trip from here on out. And I went to sleep. I got up the next morning, and I heard this announcement. Lewis, get your gear. Nathan said, that means you're getting out. And I'm like, how can I be getting out? Because I'm like a working class, raised poor, kleptomaniac in the middle of Wyoming who has committed a crime and has been thrown under the jail, almost certainly never to return. And he said, nope, you're obviously getting out. He said, Lewis, get your gear. So I go out, and there's the jailer that I met coming into the Laramie County Jail. This is a man with a handlebar mustache full of wax. This is a man with a pot belly and a really fancy gun belt that slung over one side. He had bow legs and those kind of cowboy boots that were wedged at the heel so that they kind of bowed out. And I'm like, this is so real, but it looks like a TV show, except it's real. I know it was real, because on the way out, he says, this is breaking my effing heart, but he didn't say effing, but I got to let you go. And when I was coming in, he said, well, 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 looky here, it looks like we got ourselves a colored boy. And I said, I'm going to die in Wyoming. But that was not to be, because Jerry had promised me that he was going to get me out. And I said, Jerry, you're a fool, save yourself. He's 17 years old, he's an orphan, he's a foster kid, he's on parole for cocaine possession and a weapons charge, and he's going to get me out with no clout. And I'm like, okay, do it. But actually, I didn't say do it. I said, save yourself. I'm doomed. I don't want your death on my head as well. Jerry stuck his thumb out. I got 2 minutes to tell you all this. Jerry stuck his thumb out, and he got picked up by a man named Chris Angel. Chris Angel looked at Jerry. Jerry looked at Chris Angel and said, hi, how you doing? Hi, how you doing? And Jerry was glum. Chris Angel said, what's the matter? Can I help? And Jerry said, no. And he said, what's the matter? Can I help? Jerry said, no. He said, what's the matter? Can I help? Jerry said, no. Well, maybe a friend of mine's in trouble, and I got to help him out, and I don't know how. I just need to get to the Salvation Army so I can sleep at the men's shelter and then figure out how to help him later on. And Chris Angel reaches into his pocket, pulls out a wallet, says, State of the Wyoming, Office of the Governor. And then Jerry says, maybe I can help. He tells a charming, heartwarming tale about me and Jerry and the judo guy that Chris Angel liked. I got 1 minute to finish this story. And Chris Angel takes Jerry to his house. They spend the night. with his family. And in the next morning, Chris Angel introduces Jerry to Ellen Crowley, who is a member of the state legislature as well as a trial lawyer. They have breakfast. She likes Jerry's story too, which was not true. And she walks into the Laramie County Jail. Everybody in the jailhouse recognizes her, even though she announced her name. Hi, I'm Ellen Crowley. We're like, we know who you are. And she says, I believe you have this young man. What's his name? Victor. I believe you have this young man, Victor, in custody, and I intend to represent him in court and to defeat you in this clearly discriminatory case. So I demand his unconditional release, and they said, okay. 15 minutes later, I walk out. And I see Ellen Crowley, and she says, hi, my name's Ellen Crowley. And I said, and I see Jerry behind Ellen Crowley and Chris Angel, and he's like going. And then I see Chris Angel, who looks like a 6'2" Groucho Marx in a paisley shirt, like a hippie. And I realized that my life has been redeemed. And I was stuck with the question of why and for what reason, which has been sticking with me ever since. But there is a moral to this story, not just a weird, inexplicable outcome. And that is, be like Jerry. Don't be like me. What does be like Jerry means? It means that even if you don't have the power, even if you don't have the knowledge to achieve an extraordinary outcome, if you invest yourself in it completely and lean into the world with that intention, there is a possibility that grace will close the gap for whatever its reasons. And that's why I'm here tonight. Thank you very much.